Welcome to HN Pod, your daily dive into the top stories from Hacker News. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Mike. Today is Wednesday, July 1st, 2026, and this is episode 443. We're covering the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, June 30th.
We have a packed show today, Mike. We're looking at some major drama in the AI world with Anthropic secretly watermarking developer prompts, the launch of Claude Sonnet 5, a huge controversy over European digital ID wallets relying on Google and Apple, a wild story about a US ambassador using Belgian police to silence journalists, and a sobering report on the US labor share of income hitting a post-war low.
Let's kick things off with the top story of the day, which pulled in over 1,500 points. This one is straight out of a spy novel, but for developers. A researcher inspected their local installation of Claude Code, which is Anthropic's command line coding agent, and found something really unsettling.
Right. So Claude Code has access to your file system, your shell, your Git repository. It needs that to do its job. But the researcher noticed that the system prompt, which tells the model today's date, was being subtly altered. Normally it says, today's date is 2026-06-30, but under certain conditions, the binary silently changes the apostrophe in the word today's to a different Unicode character, or changes the dashes in the date to slashes.
And it's not just a random bug. The code checks your environment variables for custom API base URLs and checks your system time zone. If you're in a Chinese time zone like Asia Shanghai, or if your API oust matches a hidden list of domains, it triggers these tiny typographical changes. It's literal prompt steganography.
The craziest part is how they hid the list of domains. It was base64 encoded and XOR decoded with a specific key. When the researcher decoded it, it was a massive list of Chinese corporate domains, AI labs like DeepSeek and Moonshot, and a bunch of proxy and reseller domains.
The Hacker News comments were on fire about this. The consensus is that Anthropic is trying to detect API resellers and stop foreign labs from distilling their models. But as a user named Civit Java pointed out, downplaying this is missing the point. If a developer tool that asks for sweeping access to your local machine is secretly exfiltrating classification data through invisible Unicode markers, what else are they hiding?
Exactly. Trust is the currency here. If you want developers to give an AI agent access to their raw source code and secrets, the client binary needs to be incredibly boring and transparent. Hiding telemetry in plain English punctuation is just a bizarre choice.
And there's this great debate in the comments about the asymmetry of it all. Anthropic scraped the public internet, relying on fair use, to build their multi-billion dollar models. But now that smaller players or foreign competitors might be using Anthropic's outputs to train their own models, suddenly they are deploying stealth DRM to protect their intellectual property. A lot of commenters felt that was deeply hypocritical.
Speaking of Anthropic, our second story is their official announcement of Claude Sonnet 5. It's fascinating timing to see these two stories side by side on the front page. Sonnet 5 is being billed as their most agentic model yet.
Yeah, Anthropic claims it matches the performance of their massive Opus 4.8 model on reasoning and coding tasks, but at a fraction of the cost. They are doing introductory pricing of $2 per million input tokens.
The cost performance charts they released are really interesting. A commenter named Dr. Boggin pointed out that looking at the charts, you should never actually use Sonnet 5 on its extra high effort setting. If you need that much compute, Opus still performs better for the cost. The takeaway seems to be that if Sonnet 5 on medium effort isn't cutting it, you need a smarter model, not just more tokens thrown at the problem.
The comments on this thread really highlight the divide happening in software engineering right now. You have senior developers saying this is a massive force multiplier. One guy said he's been writing 100% AI-generated code for 6 months, and his velocity is astonishing. He called it an expert power tool.
But then you have the other side of the coin. Another senior developer chimed in saying that while it's great for greenfield projects where you control the whole stack, it starts to fall apart in complex enterprise environments. When you have multiple product owners, legacy code, race conditions, and you're burning through your monthly token limits just trying to get the AI to understand the context, you start wondering if it would have been faster to just write it by hand.
There's also a lot of resentment brewing over Anthropic's lobbying efforts. Some commenters are actively boycotting their services because Anthropic has been pushing for regulations that would effectively make open weight models illegal. The sentiment is that giving them money is just funding a future oligopoly where only two or three massive corporations control all foundational AI.
Let's shift gears and head over to Europe. Our third story has almost 700 points and touches on a massive contradiction in European tech policy. European governments are rolling out digital identity wallets for citizens to access public services and verify their age online. But the underlying architecture relies heavily on the safety services of Google and Apple.
This is such a classic public sector tech blunder. To make sure the digital ID apps are running on secure, untampered hardware, these governments are using the Google Play Integrity API and Apple Managed Device Attestation. But Google's API doesn't just check for hardware tampering. It checks if you're running a Google-licensed version of Android.
Right. So if you're a privacy-conscious user running a de-Googled operating system like Graphene OS, you are completely locked out of your own government's digital services. Italy's official ID app, for example, continuously refuses to support Graphene OS.
The irony is just staggering here, Sarah. The European Union has spent years and billions of euros trying to break the big tech monopoly with the Digital Markets Act. They talk constantly about digital sovereignty, but when it comes time to build critical public infrastructure, they just hand the keys right back to Google and Apple.
The Hacker News comments really dug into why this happens. It comes down to cost and convenience. Building a truly open, hardware-based attestation system or issuing physical hardware tokens to citizens is expensive and requires a lot of technical support. It's so much easier for a government contractor to just plug into Google's existing walled garden.
But as one commenter pointed out, by doing this, governments are effectively becoming the enforcers of a private company's platform policies. You're forcing citizens to enter into a deeply asymmetrical data contract with an American tech giant just to access their own civic rights. Several users are hoping consumer protection groups step in and sue because this seems like a blatant violation of the DMA.
Our fourth story today is a wild piece of journalism from the European Correspondent. The headline is, "The U.S. ambassador had Belgian police stop our reporting."
This sounds like something out of an authoritarian state, but it happened right in the middle of Brussels. The U.S. embassies in Belgium threw a massive party called Freedom 250 in a public park to celebrate the upcoming 250th anniversary of the United States. It was funded by about 3 million euros from private companies.
Two accredited journalists attended, and they approached the U.S. ambassador to Belgium, Bill White. They asked him a question about a previous incident involving a country music band. The ambassador's press officer shut them down, which is normal enough. But 20 minutes later, eight plainclothes Belgian police officers surrounded the journalists, confiscated their IDs, and physically pulled them out of the event.
The police told the journalists they were instructed that one of them was an active threat. After questioning them for 15 minutes, the police realized they were just reporters and admitted it was a mistake. But the embassy still demanded they be escorted off the grounds.
The Hacker News community was deeply disturbed by this. You have a foreign government using local European police as their own private security force to eject accredited press from a public park simply for asking an uncomfortable question.
It really highlights the fragility of press freedom. When a diplomatic event funded by corporate sponsors can just snap their fingers and have the local police detain a reporter under the guise of an act of threat, it sets a chilling precedent. Especially happening just down the street from the European Commission headquarters. It's a terrible look for a country that prides itself on the First Amendment.
Finally, we have a sobering macroeconomic story from the Liberty Street Economics blog, which is run by the New York Fed. The labor share of income in the U.S. is at its lowest post-war level.
For those who might not follow macroeconomics closely, the labor share is the fraction of total economic output that gets paid to workers as wages and salaries. For decades after World War II, this number was incredibly stable at around 63%. But starting in the early 2000s, it began to drop.
And according to this new data, after a brief stabilization, it fell sharply again after the COVID pandemic. It's now 1.6 percentage points below its pre-pandemic level, marking an all-time low for the modern era.
This means that economic output, productivity, and prices are growing much faster than workers' wages. More of the pie is going to capital and corporate profits, and less is going to the people actually doing the labor.
Looking at the comments on Hacker News, people immediately connected this to the AI stories we talked about earlier. When you have companies deploying agentic AI like Claude Sonnet 5 to automate coding, legal research, and data analysis, you are fundamentally replacing labor with capital.
Exactly. You buy a subscription to an API instead of hiring a junior developer. That money goes straight to the capital side of the equation. A lot of commenters are feeling very pessimistic about where this leads. If the labor share continues to plummet, the wealth inequality we are seeing today is going to look like a golden age compared to what is coming.
It's a structural shift in the economy. The Fed report notes that this decline is driven by technological change and the rise of superstar firms. When a tiny team of engineers can use AI to build a product that serves millions of people, the traditional link between corporate success and mass employment is broken.
It's definitely a heavy thought to end the day on, but it's the reality of the industry we are building. That is all we have for today's episode of HN Pod.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your team or drop a link in your company Slack. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Have a great day, everyone.
See you tomorrow.